Lives of the companions رضي الله عنهم Lives of the companions رضي الله عنهم
الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيد الأنبياء والمرسلين أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم My dear respected viewers of Madani Channel, we once again welcome you in our program Lives of the Companions. In this very program, we talk about our heroes, heroes of Islam, alhamdulillah, Sahaba Ikram, Alim Ridwan, companions of the Prophet, their life and legacy. We try to explore what we can learn from their life, subhanAllah, and what the legacy they have left behind, so that we can also follow their footsteps. Today, inshaAllah, we'll be talking about a Sahabi Rasul who is from Ashara Mubashara. We'll introduce which Sahabi Rasul is that, who is that, inshaAllah. But before, let's recite Salat upon Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam with me, because it is a saying of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. The one who recites once Salat upon me, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala showers 10 mercies upon that person. Inshallah, let's recite with me. As-salatu wassalamu alayka ya Rasulullah. As-salatu wassalamu alayka ya Habiballah. As-salatu wassalamu alayka ya Nabiyallah. Wa ala alika wa ashabika ya Nurallah. After sending salawat and salutations upon the best of creation, alayhi salatu wa tasleem, let's take few good intentions too, because my Shaykh Tariqat Amir of Ahl Sunnah, Hazrat Allama Maulana Muhammad Ilyas Attar Qadri, Damat Barakatuhu Al-Aliyah, has given us a beautiful mindset to make good intentions before we perform any permissible task or any good deed. As I am presenting this program, I make this intention, I will deliver this program for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And you're watching this program, you can make this intention. You will watch this program from start to end. You'll remember what you learn, act upon, and pass this knowledge on to others too. And as many good intentions as you can make, higher the reward you can attain. Easily you can multiply amount of reward, insha'Allah Azza wa Jal. And I would urge and request you, if you can ask your family members, children, they can come and sit in front of Madani Channel's TV screen and watch this program, insha'Allah Azza wa Jal. They will learn a lot, insha'Allah, about historical facts about the lives of the companions, insha'Allah Azza wa Jal, and a great way to increase knowledge, insha'Allah Azza wa Jal. Respective viewers, today I already mentioned today's topic, personality, insha'Allah. In this very program, Lives of the Companions, we are going to talk about is, subhanAllah, a Sahabi Rasul, a companion of the Prophet, subhanAllah, and the name is Sayyidina Talha bin Ubaidullah radiyallahu ta'ala an. One of those Sahaba Ikram, one of those companions of the Prophet Alayhim Ridwan, who were given the glad tidings of Jannah in their lifetime by the tongue of Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. And this personality is, subhanAllah, one of them, Hazrat Sayyidina Talha bin Ubaidullah radiyallahu ta'ala an. I find this good opportunity, alhamdulillah, that Dr. Zirak Attari, Muballigh of Dawat-e-Islami, alhamdulillah, he has joined me in this very program. Let's go towards him. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu. Dr. Sahib, how are you doing?
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu. Alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Ala kulli hal, Rizwan bhai, how are you?
Alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Ala kulli hal. First of all, thank you so much for your precious time. You've come here, alhamdulillah, in this program. And what a great fortune we both have, alhamdulillah, to talk about such a great personality who has ever graced the face of this earth. Sayyidina Talha bin Ubaidullah radiyallahu ta'ala. Without any further delay, Dr. First of all, I think it would be a good idea to, could you please mention the name, kunya, patronymic name of this Sahabi Rasul, and a little bit of the basic introduction of this great personality, please.
Alhamdulillah. Companions of the Holy Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam, after the Prophets alayhi wa sallam, they are the greatest of the individuals. They are the piest of the individuals. And alhamdulillah, Azza wa Jal, Allah Azza wa Jal has given all of the companions of the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam, glad tidings of entering into Jannah. Allah Azza wa Jal says in the Holy Quran, that radiyallahu anhum wa radu an, that Allah is pleased with them and they are pleased with Allah Almighty. But alhamdulillah Azza wa Jal, there are 10 special companions alayhi muridwan, which are called Ashra'i Mubashra. Ashra means 10 in number, and Mubashra means that those who received the glad tidings of Jannah with the blessed tongue of the Holy Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam on a number of different occasions. And alhamdulillah, amongst the old companions, these 10 personalities from the companions, they hold their own high status. And alhamdulillah, the one personality that we are going to talk about today is Sayyidina Talha bin Ubaidullah radiyallahu ta'ala an. And alhamdulillah azza wa jal, he was another great companion of the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. He possessed great qualities, and his kunya was Abu Muhammad. And this was obviously after one of his sons, and we will talk about names of his sons later on as well. So this is a very brief introduction. And Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam had given him special titles, Al-Fayyaz, Al-Jud, and Al-Khair. Now, all of these titles, Al-Fayyaz, Al-Jud, Al-Khair, they refer to the generosity of Sayyidina Talha bin Ubaidullah. We will learn about the generous nature of Sayyidina Talha bin Ubaidullah, which generosity, alhamdulillah, azawajal, is one of the great characteristics of a believer. And two things I would also like to mention in the introduction of Sayyidina Talha bin Ubaidullah is that in terms of his lineage and his connection with the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
Please.
We need to understand these connections of the companions of alayhi muridwan with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, so that we understand the significance of having this special connection.
Sure.
If we look at his family tree, and then in the seventh generation of his forefathers at Ka'b bin Murrah, his lineage meets with the lineage of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So he, in a way, shares the bloodline of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So that's one nisbat, one connection of Sayyidina Talha bin Ubaidullah. And this is the same connection that Hazrat Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiyallahu ta'ala has with the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, because he radiyallahu ta'ala also, his lineage meets with the lineage of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in the seventh generation.
MashaAllah, you've just explained a little bit about the brief introduction. It is mentioned, viewers of Madani Channel, that Imam Hakim rahmatullahi ta'ala alayh has stated that Sayyidina Talha bin Ubaidullah radiyallahu ta'ala an had white reddish skin color, average and middle height, a broad chest, and wide shoulders. When he radiallahu ta'ala and turns towards anybody, he would change his complete direction towards him. He radiallahu ta'ala and had a thin nose on his beautiful face. He radiallahu ta'ala and had long feet, and his walking was quick, subhanallah, paced. So this is the brief appearance how he radiallahu ta'ala an would look like. And further, it is also mentioned Sayyidina Talha bin Ubaidullah radiallahu ta'ala an used to wear clothing dyed in saffron, an orange yellow plant used for dyeing clothes. So this was one of the subhanallah details which have been mentioned in the books. And Sayyidina Zubair bin Awam radiallahu ta'ala an has narrated that Sayyidina Talha bin Ubaidullah radiallahu ta'ala an had named his children after the names of prophets. So this is also something, inshallah, we would like to discuss, that what were the names of the children of Sayyidina Talha bin Ubaidullah radiyallahu ta'ala. But before we proceed, Doctor, towards this very element of the life of Sayyidina Talha bin Ubaidullah, I would like to just ask you, there is a very beautiful narration with regards to the acceptance of the Islam. How did he enter in the fold of Islam? Could you please shed a little light on that? And what account is that which is found in the pages of the history.
Alhamdulillah, Sayyidina Talha bin Ubaidullah radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he was amongst the very earliest of the companions who accepted Islam.
Right.
And there is also a role of first caliph, Sayyidina Siddiq Akbar radiallahu ta'ala anhu, in terms of doing what we call as infiradi koshish or individual effort or inviting him towards Islam.
Right.
And Hazrat Sayyidina Talha bin Ubaidullah radiallahu ta'ala anhu immediately accepted Islam. However, there was an incident that had already mellowed the heart of Hazrat Sayyidina Talha bin Ubaidullah radiallahu ta'ala anhu, that he went on a business trip to Basra. As we know, the people of Makkah, they used to actually do trades on the routes towards Syria and, you know, cities, Basra and so forth. So he was on a business trip in Basra. As he was passing by one of the church, and a priest inside the church, he was having a meeting with his followers.
Okay.
And as we know that some of the priests at that time, they were rightly guided and they were following the right teachings of Sayyidina Isa alayhi salam, and you know, they had you know, remembered the signs of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And this priest was actually telling his companions that go out on the streets and find if someone from Makkatul Mukarramah is here. So Hazrat Sayyidina Talha bin Ubaidullah radiallahu ta'ala anhu, when he comes to learn of this, he goes, yes, I am from Makkatul Mukarramah. And this priest then asks him, has anything you know, strange happened in Makkatul Mukarramah?
Right.
Because as per our books, this is now the right time for the final prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam to announce his prophethood.
Okay.
And he even said that this is a month in which the last of the messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he will announce his prophethood. So Hazrat Sayyidina Talha bin Ubaidullah, obviously he wasn't aware of that what had happened, because he had, in them days it may take days and weeks to reach, so he may have already left. So he, you know, immediately came back to Makkatul Mukarramah.
Okay.
And the first thing that he asked the people of Makkatul Mukarramah, that whilst I was away, has anything happened, anything strange that they would like to tell me? So the people of Makkah, they said, yes, the Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam bin Abdullah, who is we know as Siddiq and Amin, he has claimed to be the final prophet of Allah Azza wa Jal. Hazrat Sayyidina Talha bin Ubaidullah radiallahu ta'ala anhu goes to Hazrat Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala anhu, and Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala anhu says to him that yes, Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he has announced his prophethood, he guides towards the right, and I would like to invite you to accept Islam. And Sayyidina Talha bin Ubaidullah immediately, he said, take me to the court of the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam, and he becomes amongst the earliest of the Muslims.
MashaAllah, MashaAllah. He had already seen the signs, right? SubhanAllah. The priest had also mentioned the name of the Prophet, also mentioned the father's name and the grandfather's name, and where will that Prophet migrate, what was the month, and all those signs were already, SubhanAllah, heard from that priest by Sayyidina Talha bin Ubaidullah radiallahu ta'ala. And when he went and he saw that Sayyidina Siddiq Akbar radiallahu ta'ala and had already accepted Islam, so he did not find any hesitation, because he had already seen those signs and he accepted Islam. So this was an event which took place with regards to acceptance and coming in the fold of Islam of Sayyidina Talha bin Ubaidullah radiallahu ta'ala, and as we heard from Dr. Zirek. Respective viewers of Madani Channel, now it's the time to include one segment in our program. And the first segment we are going to include, that is message from a scholar. Let's find out what message is there for us. Let's go. Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
Lives of the companions, radiallahu anhum.
A Muslim is one from whose tongue and hands Muslims are safe. Very comprehensive hadith in its meaning. Either you heard someone through your tongue, or you do through your hands.
in schools, colleges, universities, workplace, at home, in friend circles, in private gatherings, outside in general gatherings, when we are invited somewhere, we will find many people, neither through their tongue nor through their hands, other Muslims are safe. Yes, of course, you can find many people around you. When they'll sit, they'll start backbiting, start talking ill about others. Let me mention another important point here. In case if you're present somewhere, then one of the rights of other Muslims upon you is that you protect their honor in their absence. In case if other people are talking ill about them and you're capable to stop that person from backbiting, then you should do so. Remember, it's one of your moral duties. You should help that Muslim brother who is absent by protecting his honor. You should try and stop. But nowadays, no one bothers. Instead, people enjoy doing backbiting as well as listening to it. It seems if they don't backbite, they'll have pain in their stomach. As soon as husband enters home, backbiting of neighbors or close relatives gets started. If not anything else, then children's faults and issues. I know certain issues need discussion. Now, in case husband wants to talk to children, then he'll be stopped. Why did you talk at first place? There wasn't any need to address. No, I just told you to feel light. No, dear, you're not feeling light. Rather, you're putting more burden on yourself. Burden of sins. Sadly, this has become our practice. Whether we are at home or at workplace, such negative discussions have become part of our life. When one colleague starts discussion with other, and after a few seconds or minutes, boss becomes the subject of that topic. Yes, he just entered. He's not in a good mood. It seems that he had fight at home. Allahu Akbar. A Muslim is one from whose tongue and hand Muslims are safe. Dear viewers, mostly when we talk to people and interact, we should be considerate in terms of their sentiments and emotions, because our tongue can hurt their feelings. And most of the times, we end up hurting others more with our tongue than our hands. Dear Islamic brothers, we need to learn rights of our fellow Muslim brothers. This is very important. We need to seek this knowledge and implement.
Lives of the companions, radiallahu
anhum. SubhanAllah. Beautiful message we heard from a dubbed clip of Nigrani Shura Haji Imran Attari. SubhanAllah, that we should respect the honor of Muslim in his absence. That's what we learned. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us tawfiq and ability whenever we are in any gathering and the person is not present there. If somebody is talking ill about him or her, and we should be mindful that if we can stop that person, then we should stop and we should respect the honor of that Muslim brother who is not present there. Beautiful message, respective views of Madani Sharim. We are talking about Sayyidina Talha bin Ubaidullah radiyallahu ta'ala and a Sahabi Rasul who is from Ashara Mubashara. Those 10 individuals, that Mubarak Jama'at who got the glad tiding of Jannah from the tongue of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. Certificate of Jannah from the tongue of Rasul alayhi salatu salam in their lifetime. And one of them is Sayyidina Talha bin Ubaidullah radiyallahu ta'ala. Also, we're talking about one aspect that he named all his sons after the names of the Prophet alayhi salam. I would like to request you if you could shed some light, what are the names of the children of Sayyidina Talha bin Ubaidullah radiyallahu ta'ala and how important this is to name our children after the pious ones.
Sayyidina Talha bin Ubaidullah radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, as we know that he had multiple wives and he had 11 sons and 4 daughters. So altogether he had 15 children. And I would like to share with you the names of his sons.
Please.
First was Muhammad. After him, he takes his kunya as Abu Muhammad. The second one was called Imran.
Right.
The third one, Musa, Yaqub, Ismail, Ishaq, Zakaria, Yusuf, Isa, Yahya, and Saleh.
Okay.
So these were the 11 names of his sons. And this obviously is something, a lesson that we need to learn
right.
From this great companion, radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, that we should name our children based on the pious individuals. And we should give them a good name because a name, you know, Allah Azza wa Jalla on the day of judgment will call individuals with their name, oh so and so, son of so and so.
Right.
And we know that, you know, even in this day and age, children, they can be quite sensitive about their name. And if they've got some sort of strange name or a difficult name or something that can be, you know, not be pronounced correctly, and other children may take, you know, make a joke of it, then they don't feel very happy about this. Now, these are worldly matters, worldly affairs. But if we look at the affairs of the world hereafter, then if one individual has a name after a prophet or a name after one of the companion of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, or name after the pious individuals, then inshallah azza wa jal, you know, they will have nothing to be ashamed of on the day of judgment. Also, we actually gain the blessings from these names. Yeah. This is actually a spiritual connection of our names, and we can have the similar qualities of that individual who possesses that name after whom our parents named us. And, you know, there has to be this intention by the parents that I'm naming my son or my daughter after so-and-so pious personality, and make dua in the court of Allah that they may be blessed with the characteristics of these personalities, these individuals. And this also shows our love for these personalities, these individuals. It is also a mean of keeping our, you know, pious predecessors, our you know, heroes from the history of Islam, they're not just name alive, but they're, you know, teachings alive as well. And when someone is named so-and-so, and then the parents need to tell those children that we named you after so-and-so, and this is his beautiful life. If it were, if someone's named Umar, radiallahu ta'ala anhu, Umar after the great companion Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu, then we need to tell that individual that your name is Umar because of Hazrat Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu.
Right.
And these were the characteristics that Hazrat Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu possessed. And if someone is named Siddiq, then obviously tell them that this is the name after the first caliph of Islam. If they're named Usman, they need to be told that this is after the third caliph of Islam. If they're named Ali, then after, you know, the fourth caliph of Islam. And what were these characteristics? What were these special qualities? And then the child will develop that enthusiasm to adopt those characteristics. They will strive to work towards those characteristics. And so we will gain the blessings of this particular name in the dunya as well, and in the world hereafter too.
Yeah, Nashib, one more thing. What normally nowadays people, they've got an understanding, they want to have a unique name. No one has that name. They would like to have that, or maybe some people would like to give their names after the actors or singers, and those people are the worldly, you see, they've got some sort of fame or something. But as we have earlier heard, that this is something we need to be mindful of, that whoever, whatever name we are giving to our children, that should be, one, it should have some sort of sense. Some people, they also name, those names do not have any meaning whatsoever. The people, they name their children, they are meaningless, to be honest with you. And that is also not good, because this is the first gift a parent or parents, they give to their child. Even right after the birth, he receives the first gift, that is the name. And that gift remains with that child rest of his or her life. So we should give such a beautiful name to our children, which he loves and likes rest of his or her life. So otherwise, as we heard from Muballigh of Dawat Islami, Dr. Zirik, that people, some children, they do not feel comfortable having their names which were given to them by their parents. So whenever you are giving, and another important factor it is that sometimes we request our elders, maybe uncle or maybe granddad or grandmother, to suggest any name. And those relatives of ours are not very much learned in terms of Islamic teachings. So they would suggest any name which has no meaning whatsoever. Or maybe they do not know the importance of giving names according to the teachings of Islam and what blessings are hidden behind giving names after the pious ones. So they may suggest any name which is not appropriate. So it is always a good idea to first of all choose a name from the pious ones, from Anbiya, from Rusul, from Sahaba Ikram, from our heroes in Islam, in the history of Islam, or choose an Islamic name first of all. And then also one should be mindful of its meaning. It's always a good idea to consult any alim-e-deen, Islamic scholar, before choosing a right name, because this is something which will be with your child rest of his or her life. Respecting Yusuf Parenchel, we learned this beautiful Madani pearl from the life, from the legacy which was left behind Sayyidina Talha bin Ubaidullah radiallahu ta'ala, and all his children were named after Prophet alayhi salam. So inshallah, it's a good thing to follow. And one of the reasons of these programs is that we talk about life and legacy of such great heroes, such great personalities who have ever graced this face of the earth, alhamdulillah, so that we can learn something from them and we can also act upon. Dear Doctor, anything else you would like to share with regards to Sayyidina Talha bin Ubaidullah radiyallahu ta'ala? And over to you.
I think it's about right time to mention about his quality of his generosity. He was obviously given the title Talhatul Fayyaz, Talhatul Khair, and this was because of his generosity.
Yeah.
And alhamdulillah azawajal, he was a good earner. If I can use those simple terms so the people can understand. And on daily basis, he used to earn about 1,000 dirhams.
Allah.
However, he did not accumulate his wealth. And he would actually be looking out for the opportunities to help those who are needy, to spend in the path of Allah Azza wa Jal, so that he pleases his Rabb Azza wa Jal. It is mentioned that, you know, on one of the nights he received 700,000 dirhams.
Allahu Akbar.
So a huge amount of money from a city. He must have done a business deal or whatever. We can assume that. So 700,000 dirhams came into his house. Now, if we were to receive that money, how happy we will be, how content we will be, we will have no worry, and we will chill, and we will relax, and, you know, we will start planning, like, what am I going to do with this money?
True.
But what happened is that he became anxious, he became worried, he couldn't sit still. And his blessed wife, radiallahu ta'ala anha, she asked him, what has happened to you today? Why are you so anxious? Why are you, you know, not at ease? And what is this? And Hazrat Sayyidina Talha bin Ubaidullah radiallahu ta'ala anha said that, you know, I have received this huge sum of money today, and I'm someone who worships Allah Azza wa Jal. And whilst this money is there, I'm unable to focus. I'm unable to, you know, have khushu and khuzu. Why? Because I'm, you know, I don't love money, and I need to sort of like, you know, spend it in the path of Allah Azza wa Jal. Now, look at his blessed wife, radiallahu ta'ala anha, as well. Now, this was another of his wives. And she said that, you know, there's nothing to worry about this. What you can do is you can actually, you know, distribute this money to your friends and make an intention that obviously now, right now is nighttime, they will be asleep, but the first thing in the morning, you're going to give this money to your friends who are in need and distribute your wealth. And that's, you know, when he made that intention, he obviously found that peace, that satisfaction. So here we actually learn two Madani pearls. One is was the generosity of Sayyidina Talha bin Ubaidullah, but at the same time also the generous nature of his one of his wife, radiallahu ta'ala anha. And this wife was Sayyidatuna Umm Kulsum radiallahu ta'ala,
daughter of Siddiq.
She was the daughter of Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala.
So
this is, I think, you know, it's a very important point that not just, you know, we don't just listen to these things, but we feel the impact of this. We learn the lesson from this, that in this day and age, you know, if we look at Sayyidina Talha bin Ubaidullah, it doesn't mean that he was an earning. He was a good earner, as we heard that he was getting almost 1,000 dirham on daily basis. Unfortunately, I don't know how well it compares in this day and age meaning, but you know, 1,000 dirham on daily basis, you know, was a very good income. So it's not that he didn't work or he didn't obviously acquire the money. So generally people make this wrong assumption that all the, you know, the people who are religious, they don't want to earn money, they don't want to work hard, and they you know, they don't value money. But if we look at Sayyidina Talha bin Ubaidullah, one of the Ashra Mubashra, he was a great companion of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, but he is doing business in a halal way. And whatever money he is getting, he's not accumulating it. He's spending it in the path of Allah. And the more he spent in the path of Allah, the more Allah blessed him with barakah, blessings in his business. And he, you know, acquired more wealth and he spent more in the path of Allah. And also look at his blessed wife, that she supported him. She didn't say, we need for this, we need for that, save it for the rainy day, and so forth. But she helped him and she made the plan that how are we going to distribute that 700,000 pounds. And I think this is a very important lesson for the parents who have their daughters, obviously also children, you know, sons as well. But let's say that, you know, all, you know, boys and girls that we have in our household, we need to actually say to them that let's learn from this one of the great companion, one of the Ashra Mubashara, one of the tens who received the glad tidings of Jannah with the blessed tongue of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in their own life, that he would make an effort, he would do business in the halal way, he would earn the money,
right,
but he would spend it in the path of Allah azza wa jal as well. So that's the right sort of balance. Obviously, you know, money is needed to maintain our necessities, for emergency situations and so forth. And if you don't even have that much money, then you're going to struggle. And this is going to affect your, you know, worship of Allah azza wa jal, because you won't be at peace. And then on the other hand, we have individuals who are millionaires, who are billionaires, who are what we call as filthy rich. And they've completely ignored, you know, illa mashallah. You know, there are individuals who, mashallah, were wealthy, and they gave significant amounts of money in the path of Allah. Yeah. Yes, there are examples of that. However, they're very few and far in between. And unfortunately, we see the extremes. And this is the beauty of Islam. The Islam, we all know that it promotes the middle way, the middle path. And the middle path is that you earn, you make every effort to earn in the halal way, and the money that you get, spend it in the path of Allah, give it to those who need it, don't accumulate it. The more you spend in the path of Allah, the more you make others happy, Allah will bless you with more.
MashaAllah. MashaAllah, also beautiful Madani pearls from the seed of Sayyidina Talha bin Ubaidullah radiallahu ta'ala. And now it's the time to include one segment in our program. Let's include words of wisdom. Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
Lives of the companions radiallahu
anhum. Respected viewers, today, words of wisdom we've got: who is foolish? It is sufficient for a person to be considered as foolish if he eats something whenever he desires it, saying of the leader of believers, Sayyidina Umar Farooq Azam radiyallahu ta'ala. And what a beautiful piece of advice. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us tawfiq and ability to control our nafs. And whatever this great piece of wisdom which has been shared today, may we all act upon. Ameen. Bijahin Nabil Ameen. Sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. Before going towards a segment, we were talking about generosity of Sayyidina Talha bin Ubaidullah radiyallahu ta'ala an. Respective viewers of Madani Channel, there is a beautiful ayah of Quran. Subhanallah. I would like to just mention here for your interest, and we can also learn a beautiful piece of advice. Because we're talking about generosity, we're talking about sahabat, we're talking about jood, subhanallah, of Sayyidina Talha bin Ubaidullah radiyallahu ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mentioned in Surah Al-Baqarah, verse 245. من ذا الذي يقرض الله قرضا حسنا فيضاعفه له أضعافا كثيرة والله يقبض ويبسط وإليه ترجعون. What is its meaning? Is there anyone who will lend an excellent loan to Allah so that he may increase it for him several times over, and Allah restricts and eases sustenance, and it is to him that you will return. Now, commenting on this very verse, Sayyidina Allama Sayyid Muhammad Naimuddin Murad Abadi rahmatullahi ta'ala alayh has stated, Allah has mentioned charity, giving in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as a loan. Very beautiful point. The word loan has been used, giving in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now, which is his pinnacle of mercy and favor upon his bondsmen. Because man is created by him, and whatever he possesses is also blessed by him. He azza wa jal is the true and real owner, and the bondsman is a majazi, meaning blessed and bestowed by Allah's owner. As by using the term loan is always acceptable for the lender, that he remains satisfied that his possession does not go to waste and he deserves it back. Likewise, the one who donates, a donor who gives in the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, should feel satisfied that he must be recompensed for his spending. He will get back whatever he has spent in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What a beautiful point. Respected viewers of Madani Channel, when it comes to giving the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we should be generous and we need to trust upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We heard about Sayyidina Talha bin Ubaidullah radiallahu ta'ala and daily income, right? Why was so much, right? One of the reasons was that he would spend in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. See, open, wholeheartedly, he would give in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Tens of thousands of dirahim, right, they came and he distributed in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So when you give in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you get it back, multiplied. And sadaqah does not decrease wealth. It is the saying of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. Sometimes, not sure we think that if I spend in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then money will be reduced. But that is not the case. Now, for example, if I've got 10 pounds, and if I give 5 pounds in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, I'll be left behind with 5, isn't it? Normally, apparently, it looks that 5 pounds, they've gone from my pocket, and the money I have got with me is reduced. Every sensible person would say that this has been reduced. But the hadith of Rasul alayhi salatu wasalam says, sadaqah does not decrease wealth. What a beautiful explanation to this. Ulama, they've mentioned, and they say that, subhanAllah, the way a farmer who goes to the fields, he takes the sacks of seeds with him, and then he throws all in the fields, and he comes back empty-handed. He doesn't have nothing left. He comes back. But after a few months, when he gets, subhanAllah, the outcome from the field, then that is, you see, many, many, many times multiplied, he gets the reward, subhanAllah. Likewise, the one who spends in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala returns him accordingly. And another beautiful example, which ulama have mentioned, it's just like a water in a well. If you take buckets out of that well, apparently it looks it is decreasing, but more water comes from the bottom. More water is, subhanAllah, it rises up. This is again the same thing. When you spend in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you get it multiplied, subhanAllah. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala increases your wealth. And again, those they give zakah, right? Every year their zakah is increased. Why is that increased? Because their wealth, on the other hand, is increasing. That's the reason their zakah is also increasing. So if you spend in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it's just like a loan. The way you are sure that your loan will come back to you, in a sense that it has not gone wasted, one day you'll get back. And subhanAllah, if you have given to loan to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then You will get it when you will be in need, when you will be in real need. So we need to be generous. We need to be, subhanAllah, we need to spend wholeheartedly. Doctor, over to you. Any other aspect you would like to share?
One thing I would like to mention, obviously, we have great opportunities. You mentioned the platform of Dawat Islami. You are also part of FGRF, Faizan Global Relief Foundation.
MashaAllah.
And Alhamdulillah, Zawajal, FGRF, the aim of this part of Dawat Islami is that, you know, it helps the needy people of Ummah, those who are afflicted with calamities, natural disasters, like we saw in Pakistan when floods came, and Alhamdulillah, Dawat Islami, not just at that time, helped them, because at that particular time, lots of people helped. But then afterwards, the recovery is probably the biggest, where a lot of support is needed. And Alhamdulillah, Dawat Islami is still on the ground in those affected areas of Pakistan where recovery is taking place, and they are draining the excess water, they're building the houses for those communities so that they can actually continue with their lives, even providing farmers with the seeds, with the fertilizers, so that they can grow their crops that will eventually benefit them. And also, you know, there has been tragic incidents, the earthquake that has affected parts of Turkey and Syria. And Alhamdulillah, your Dawat Islami through FGRF is there on the ground as well, helping individuals in a number of different ways, and especially focusing on providing them with the necessities, the food, the daily items that they need, the blankets, because it is cold there as well. So this FGRF, the platform of FGRF, is another amazing opportunity for us to show our generosity and give in the path of Allah Azza wa Jal. One other thing I would like to mention is that those individuals who have the habit of saving money, every few years, the value of money goes down.
Yeah.
I remember, you know, if we go back to my granddad time when he was working, he used to get £7 a week, you know, wages for his work that he did.
Right.
And they would get a house in like £200-300. At that time, the value of the money was big, because with those, you know, £7 a week, you will even get some saving as well. Now the value of money has gone so down that 30 years down the line, £7 is nothing. £200 is nothing. It's like £200,000. Now you need a house, just a normal house, to be honest. So the value of the worldly value of this money has decreased by 1,000 times. Whereas if we were to give this in the path of Allah Azza wa Jal, there is no decrement. It is only an increment.
Mashallah.
Increment in the dunya, increment in the world hereafter as well. So through the platform of FGRF, help and support.
Beautiful.
Also through other platforms of Dawat Islami. This is also what we call as the months of Zakat, the Sha'ban, Rajab, Sha'ban, Ramadan, where people want to give their Zakat. So don't forget your Dawat Islami, of all the religious services that Dawat Islami is offering, and all the financial support Dawat Islami need, you know, requires, it also, you know, needs your generosity to help Dawat Islami with this.
Beautiful. Doctor, we've got, now it's the time to include another segment in our program, and that is, did you know? Let's include that. Sallu ala al-Habib, sallallahu ta'ala, ala Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
Lies of the companions,
respected viewers, in this segment we've got a few questions for you, for your interest, inshallah, and for the in order to increase our knowledge, inshallah. We will ask question 10 by 10, inshallah. Dr. Zirik is with me. The very first question: how many people took part in the first migration? According to one opinion, 11 men and 4 women. Right. Name the birds that came back to life after being slaughtered. Respective viewers, answer to this is a pigeon, a rooster, vulture, and peacock. They were slaughtered by Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salam before regaining life with the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Another question for you, that what time did Sayyidina Adam, at what time Sayyidina Adam ala nabiyyina wa alayhi salatu wasalam descend from paradise to earth? Interesting, isn't it? Sayyidina Adam alayhi salam came to earth from paradise in the afternoon between Zuhr and Asr. Another question, where did Sayyidina Nuh alayhi salam bury the blessed body of Sayyidina Adam alayhi salam after the great flood? Now, the answer is in Baytul Muqaddas. How old was Sayyidina Isa alayhi salam when he was raised to the heavens? 32 years and 6 months. How old was beloved Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam when Sayyidina Abdul Muttalib radiyallahu an passed away, grandfather of Rasul alayhi salatu wasalam? He alayhi salatu wasalam was 8 years at that very moment. Now time is too short. Let's include final segment. We'll come back. We'll talk about the life of Sayyidina Talha bin Ubaidullah radiyallahu ta'ala an. The final segment, hadith of the day, will come back. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
Lives of the companions radiyallahu anhum.
Our goal in life is to succeed in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, gain acceptance in the court of Allah Azza wa Jal. And inshallah, that will result in us entering Jannah, paradise. And that's our real abode. This dunya that we sometimes become so engrossed and lost in is nothing compared to the hereafter and Jannah. Paradise, subhanallah, that is the goal. That is the end goal of a believer. And there are such blessings that we can only comprehend them to a certain extent through the wordings in the hadith, etc. But in reality, when we enter Jannah, subhanallah, we will see that that is truly a grand place, a grand abode, the greatest abode for the believers. But let me tell you a hadith of the Prophet alayhi salam, which is in Tirmidhi and Mishkat. And this highlights how superior Jannah is in comparison to the world. Sayyiduna Sa'ad bin Abi Waqqas radiyallahu anhu, so the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, لَوْ أَنَّ مَا يَقِلُّ ذُفُرٌ مِمَّا فِي الْجَنَّةِ بَدَأَ. If anything of paradise, which is equivalent to a nail, were to become zahir, apparent, لَتَزَخْرَفَتْ لَهُ مَا بَيْنَ خَوَافِقِ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ, then the edges or the corners of the heavens and the earth would become adorned with it. These are beautiful. Even something small as a nail of paradise, something of paradise, if that was to become apparent, then what would it do? It would adorn and embellish the edges, the corners, the sides of the heavens of the earth. وَلَوْ أَنَّ رَجُلًا مِّنْ أَهْلِ الْجَنَّةِ اِطَّلَعَ فَبَدَأَ أَسَاوِرُهُ لَطَمَسَ ضَوْءُهُ ضَوْءَ الشَّمْسِ كَمَا تَطْمِسُ الشَّمْسُ ضَوْءَ النُّجُومِ. And if a man of Jannah, paradise, were to glance upon the earth, if he were to just look at the earth, and his bracelets, asawir, were to become apparent, the luminosity of those bracelets would extinguish the light of the sun. Just as the brightness of the stars is extinguished due to the luminosity of the sun. Subhanallah, this is just one hadith in regards to Jannah, in regards to paradise. Paradise is far greater than we can ever think. Paradise is the greatest abode, and this is what we should aim for. We get lost in the dunya, engrossed in the dunya. We are not to stay here forever. We are to stay in and reside in Jannah, inshallah, and we have to work towards it as well. May Allah Ta'ala grant us tawfiq.
Lives of the companions, radiyallahu anhum.
MashaAllah, we were learning about Jannah, subhanAllah, paradise. And we are talking about a Sahabi Rasul, subhanAllah, who got the glad tidings of Jannah from the tongue of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam in his lifetime. Sayyidina Talha bin Ubaidullah radiyallahu ta'ala. And at the end of this program, I would like to bring your attention towards Amir of Ahl-Sunnah, Hazrat Allama Maulana Muhammad Ilyas Attar Qadri Damat Barakatum Al Aliyah. How mindful he is, how cautious he is when it comes to narrate any hadith or mention any mas'ala. He is a great renowned Islamic scholar, alhamdulillah, well known Islamic scholar of this world, in this era, no doubt at all. But whenever he mentions any hadith of Rasul alayhi salatu salam, he tries to read word by word as written, subhanallah. And he has given this mindset to all muballighin of Dawat Islami also, all ulama and scholars, that they should be very much careful whenever they are narrating any hadith or they are mentioning any mas'ala, any Islamic ruling. I would like to encourage and invite you to watch Madani Muzakira. This program is on air on Madani channel, alhamdulillah, every Saturday in the afternoon, in the evening. So you can watch in the UK. You can watch that program and you can see Amir of Ahle Sunnah, how cautious he is whenever he is mentioning any mas'ala. And sometimes if he is not sure for any Islamic ruling, because everything cannot be on top of one's head at all times. So he goes and refers to Muftiyani Kiram and he double checks that. And subhanallah, this is what the mindset he has given. And all this we learn from the life and legacy of Sahaba Ikram Ali Ridwan, likes of Sayyidina Talha bin Ubaidullah radiyallahu ta'ala. And even he spent a lot of time in the court of Rasul alayhi salatu salam, in the companionship of Prophet alayhi salatu salam, but only 38 ahadith are narrated through him. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us tawfiq and ability to learn and follow the footsteps of Sahaba Ikram. To be honest with you, what a great personality. Subhanallah, Talha bin Ubaidullah radiyallahu ta'ala. We have not been able to do justice in this very short span of time, but we have tried to write our names in that list who praised Sahaba Ikram Ali Ridwan. And that's all for today. Jazakallahu khaira. Thank you so much, Dr. Sir, for your precious time too, and for your knowledge and wisdom which you have shared with viewers of Madani channel. We will be back, inshallah, next week, same time, same channel, Madani channel. Until then, keep reciting Salat upon Nabi alayhi salatu wassalam. Sallu ala al-Habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad.
Lives of the companions, radiyallahu anhum. Lives of the companions.